Hey there, welcome to another episode of Brand Mavericks, the podcast that ignites your entrepreneurial spirit and guides you along the pathway to building your franchise empire. I'm Neil DiPatino, president of Titan Media Works and your host for today's show. We have an esteemed guest with us today on today's episode of Brand Mavericks. His name is Robert Haar. He is the president and a franchise consultant at Best Franchise Options, LLC. Robert brings years of rich experience in guiding individuals through their entrepreneurial journey. So we're going to dive into the world of franchising. Joining us from sunny Boca Raton, Florida, please welcome to the show, Robert Haar. Hey, Robert, welcome.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate that. And today it's sunny, but we've been having a little bit of rain for the last couple of weeks, but enjoying the weather now.
Well, you got a little bit better than I do. I'm traveling, so I generally am working from my studio in Tennessee, but today I'm actually in Denver, and I had to close the blinds a little bit in the room I'm in, but if I had them open, I'd be looking at about 6 inches of snow coming down. Ooh. So what a difference a day makes, or some distance makes, right?
Yeah, we don't get any of that down here.
Well, I would imagine if you did, it would be, be something.
National be really news. Something. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Hey, so I want to talk a little bit about your business and some of the things you're doing. You're consulting with potential franchisees. I mean, you've got all kinds of experience, been around the block a few times here and there. We want to jump into that. But before we do, let's learn a little bit more about Robert. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. And I guess saying I've been around the block is another way of saying I'm getting old. But for sure. I've been in one capacity or another in the franchising industry for close to 30 years now. So I've been on just about every side of the equation, on both sides of the desks, as a franchisor, and now as a franchise consultant. So I spent about half that time of those 30 years as the vice president of franchise development for a restaurant brand. And the commonality in my background has been restaurant industry in one form or fashion, as a restaurant owner in years past, to a franchise development person helping those to get into the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. So so now I'm enjoying myself and helping others maybe try to avoid the restaurant business, but get into other sectors that are having great success now and are certainly not as stressful and time consuming and more enjoyable for sure.
Right. Hey, one of the things I was looking at your LinkedIn bio, and I see that, I mean, not only are you a consultant, but I mean, you've really kind of been deep down in the trenches too. You're a trainer. You've actually lived that life. So you look at franchising from really the other side of the table as well. I mean, you've really got a really great background in terms of coming from, deep down in the trenches.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does give me a little bit of insight and advantage to those that are looking at any component of franchising, especially as we try to navigate through the franchise disclosure documents and the 23 items in there, and the financial aspects of getting into franchising. So yeah, it definitely gives me some insights that a lot of people don't necessarily have that are in my line of work.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about franchising. And, in your opinion, what makes a really good franchise? Something that, maybe the average person who wants to get into franchising wants to maybe start building an empire of their own. I mean, what makes a good franchise for them to start with?
Yeah. So there are a number, there are 37 sectors in the franchising industry. I have access, being a consultant under the Franchise Brokers Association, provides me access to about 800 different brands. So what makes one franchise better than the other? There are a number of components that kind of factor into what makes one better than the other. First of all, there are items within, as I've referenced, there are items within the FDD that'll kind of shine a light on what the good franchises are, right? So not the least of which is what the retention rates are. So when you look at a franchise system and you see that they have X number of franchises 1 year and they have a lot less the next or the year after, that's retention rate. So are they retaining their franchises within their system? Is the model replicable? Is it duplicatable? Are there systems in place to ensure the successful growth of that franchise, right? So the other item that I kind of take a glance at when I'm looking at the items of the FDD are litigation, right? So there's an item that covers what, if any, litigation is pending or has been brought up against that franchise in the past. And then I also look at the item one, which is the experience. Who are these people? Item two spells out who are the leaders of the company, who's in the system running things from the corporate end of things. So there are a lot of components that go into determining whether or not a franchise is successful. But at the end of the day, maybe one of the most important components of finding out whether a franchisee is happy is having what's called validation calls. And validation is part of the process of a franchise prospect becoming a franchisee. And so that gives them the opportunities to speak one-on-one with other franchise owners in the system and ask them, among other things, what are the unit economics? Are you having success? Nobody wants to be asked how much money are you making, but in a roundabout way, that's what you kind of have to get to. And I always tell my clients, you know, if you want to end on, or if you want to begin with one very specific question, and that is, would you do it again? And so, you know, the answer to that question, you know, is going to be very telling, right? So, yeah. And it's a pretty bold question to ask, but it is important to know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's really a great question. I would have never thought of asking. So, I mean, that I think is super, super important. And when you talk about validation, now you're looking to kind of marry that potential franchisee prospect with the franchise that's a great fit. So really, it's kind of like a little bit of both. Like they're interviewing to find, you know, they're trying to find that franchise that works well for them from a financial standpoint, maybe just from, you know, an experience standpoint, something they would, maybe a passion thing, right? But also the franchisor, they really need to make sure that the person is a good fit so they don't have a higher retention. They don't have people dropping off, number one, but also they don't want to have one franchisee, you know, out there kind of playing cowboy, kind of screwing it up for everybody else.
Absolutely. And you brought up something that reminded me of what we do at the initial stage of our process at Best Franchise Options, which is we provide what's called an entrepreneurial assessment to our candidates. And that entrepreneurial assessment not only tells us what level of risk tolerance they're willing to take, but what stage of business they're best suited for, where they're going to have the most success. And franchisors actually look at that assessment and they actually provide that same assessment to their existing franchisees to see if they're a good match and a good fit. So they know the profile of the ideal candidate that they're trying to bring into the system. This assessment was created 30 years ago by some PhDs at Harvard and Stanford, people that are a lot smarter than I am. And it's been used in franchising ever since. And the coolest part is that the candidate actually gets a copy of it as soon as they hit submit. It takes about 10, 15 minutes to complete. And it's really telling, and it gives me a lot better insight into the psychographics of that client.
Well, so there's more, a whole lot more involved than just like, hey, I want to do this, and here's my money, and you know, let's see what it's going to take to get this thing going. There's really a big process that's involved.
Yeah, absolutely. The process itself could take 6 months. I mean, by the time we start getting through the research part of things, which is very time consuming, because again, the goal is we've got 800 brands, we've got 37 sectors. Now we need to pare it down. We have to start finding what industries are most interesting to the client. But on top of that, which ones are you going to best fit? From a financial perspective, like what are you willing to invest? How much do you have to invest? And we have resources at our disposal that provides SBA funding sources and knowledge and input, whether they want to use their own funds or somebody else's, or tap into and leverage their retirement funds, their 401k monies, as an example.
Well, it sounds to me like that's just a whole lot for, you know, like an individual to try to maneuver through. So that's kind of where you come in. You actually, do you do a lot of hand-holding? I mean, do you do some of the paperwork for them? Or what is the process that you go through when you're working with a potential client?
Yeah, so, and that's a great question. So the value that I bring to the table is not only my background and experience, but also the resources that I have at my fingertips and disposal as I'm helping my clients through the process. But the true value on the other side of the scale is that I don't charge anything to the clients for my services. So my clients will never see an invoice from me. They'll never sign an agreement with me. I'm only compensated by the franchisor when a good match is made. So in order for my business to be sustainable and have a long-term success, I have to make good matches, or I'm not going to be in business for long.
Right, right. So some of the things that you already talked about, some of the things that are important in looking at as far as finding the, you know, the perfect fit, the perfect franchise, you know, brand recognition is super important, proof of concept, those type of things. You know, when we think of brands, we think of, you know, especially in the franchising worlds, we're thinking of like these big, ginormous companies and everything. And that, you know, it takes a lot of money to invest. It takes a lot of, you know, capital to get started, to run on a daily basis, that type of thing. But there are still a lot of really good opportunities with good franchises that are maybe, you know, upstarts or smaller franchises and that type of thing. Can you walk us through that a little bit, if you would, please?
Yeah. So a lot of the brands that we carry in our inventory are what's considered to be emerging franchises. So franchises that have anywhere from 20 up to 100 units. Once you get to that 100 unit mark, you've really now have a system in place. And then you're talking about, once you get above 500 or more units, then you're talking about empire brands, right? So you talk about McDonald's and Burger King and those big food service brands. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to the risk tolerance, the assessment tells us where that client it fits into that stage of growth, right? Where they're best suited, franchising is not it's not about inventing the wheel, right? It's just about following the systems and procedures that are already in place. But in some cases, there are opportunities out there where a candidate might have a little bit more input about the wheel, right? So maybe the width of the tread, the size of the spokes, the color of the spokes kind of thing. So when you're in an empire brand, you're not having much input on that wheel at all. Right. So you're talking about, you know, here's the wheel, use it and follow the system, period. You're a cog. That's right. Right. So depending on where you fall on that stages of growth, that assessment, you know, there are opportunities out there. Well, you might be able to sit on, for example, an advisory panel, where you really have a lot more input and say on the direction of the company and the shape of things to come, right? So that's why, you know, it's important for me to get to know my clients a lot better, not just understand what they're trying to achieve and what their goals are, but now finding the right fit for that prospect when it comes time to really, well, the rubber hits the road. Sorry for the pun there.
I love it. Hey, you know, and I think that you brought up some really good points. I mean, some people, you know, who want to start a business, they get into franchising because they've never, I mean, they might have certain expertise in the jobs that they've had over the years, maybe in the corporate world, that type of thing. But maybe, you know, maybe they might be good in marketing, but they might not be so good in, finance or whatever the case might be. So, really, that's one of the reasons why people want to get into franchising. But another reason would be because it's a proven formula, something that works really well. But because they've been in that corporate world in the past and they've had some input in it, you know, franchising might be kind of a little bit of a turnoff because they feel like they're going to lose any kind of that flexibility. But what you just said is completely the opposite, especially with the emerging brands.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell my clients at the very beginning of our relationship that I want you to enter this next couple of months with a business mindset. Break out of your consumer mindset. Don't look at any business model that I may show you from a consumer point of view, right? Look at it from a business point of view. And what I mean by that is I have most of the opportunities that I present are what's called executive models, right? So as an executive model business owner, you're working on the business. You're not working in the business. So when I present, for example, a brand that does a specific home service, I don't want you thinking that you're going into somebody's home to provide that service. I want you to think of it as you're part of a community. I want you to think of how you can build that business within a community and oversee the service itself. So working on it, not in it.
Right, right. So let me ask you this. So as far as you know, somebody who maybe wants to be an absentee owner or semi-absentee, or maybe they want to have, you know, build several different locations in a particular business or whatever, is would an emerging brand franchise, would that still be something that would be something that they should look at or could look at?
Yeah, you know, so it really depends on the brand, right? So an emerging, I do have some emerging brands that have what's called semi-passive, passive or investor models, right? So there are some brands that are emerging that have 20 or 30 units that they insist that the owner runs the business day to day. And there's a reason for that, right? Mm-hmm. They want to grow, so they want to find people that understand and want to work in the business, or I should say on the business, but run the day to day of the business, because that gives maybe better chance of success long term, so that when they get to 100, 200 units, they have franchisees that have proven the system because they've built their businesses. However, with that said, I do have some investor models in inventory where the franchisor will really take a more active role in not only staffing the business, but overseeing it, the day-to-day operations of the business. So it really depends on the appetite, again, of the client, of the prospect.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes perfect sense. So at the beginning of the podcast, you mentioned that there are, what, I think you said 37 different sectors in franchising. What are some of the hotter sectors today?
Yeah. So I kind of touched on it a minute ago, and I said home services. So When you think about home services, there is a specific company that I present that is in my inventory called Neighborly. So it's called Neighborly Company, and they are the largest home service franchise company in the world. They have 19 different brands underneath the same umbrella. So all home services. It's a $4 billion a year company. So when I say they're the largest, they are the largest. They actually have an additional 12 franchise home service brands that are international. So they have a total of 31 or 32 brands under the same umbrella, 19 of which are here in the U.S. Home services, you know, it's this particular brand has a very high-tech, high-touch, Amazon-like approach to it. Right. So when you think of a home service, most people think of, well, you know, I'm going to hire Stan in a van to go pressure wash outside. And the experience you're going to get with Stan in the van is completely different than the experience you're going to get from one of these home service franchise brands. Right. So people are getting more and more accustomed to that, you know, high touch, white glove concierge approach. And I'll, as an example, I had my house painted a few years ago, and the guy who painted it was an independent guy. You know, he's painted a few houses in the neighborhood. And when he came out to give me the estimate, I said, so how much is it going to cost? He verbally told me. I said, okay, can you put it in writing just so I have something that to shows what you're going to be doing and what we talked about. And he said, sure. He went out to his van and he took a piece of scrap paper and he hand wrote the estimate on it. And he goes, here you go. I go, wow, that's okay. So, and after he was all done, he said, okay, that'll be, you know, whatever it was, for the painting job. And I said, okay, can I get a receipt? Yeah, sure. Went out to the same van and hand wrote, and I don't even think it was a full sheet of paper. It was, he tore it and it had like rough edges on it. And he gave me that receipt. So that, by comparison, you know, when you talk about an Amazon-like approach with these home services that I'm talking about, it's high touch. You know, they're coming out, they're giving you a very polished professional estimate that details exactly what it is that they're going to be doing. And then they do a complete walkthrough, not only at the end of the process, but they're checking in halfway through the process and doing a walkthrough. Are we meeting your expectations? And guess what else that franchise owner is doing at some point during the process when that van is parked in front of the house with their logo on it? They're knocking on the neighbor's door and saying, hey, I'm Robert Haar. I'm owner of this franchise. We're painting your neighbor's house now. I just wanted to give you my card. If they're making too much noise, if the van gets in your way, please reach out to me and let me know, right?
So
that's, and it's not a sales approach. It's just now you've gotten your card in somebody else's hand, right?
Right.
So this Neighborly brand, and I'm using that as an example, has an in-house marketing team of 30 or 40 people that are dedicated to that franchisee's success. So they do digital marketing that allows you to work on your business and not necessarily bang on those doors, but what a great opportunity when that van is parked right in front of the neighbor's house to try and stimulate more business.
Absolutely. Let me jump in here just real quickly, because I have a very similar experience with a fencing company that was is a franchisee, and was the best experience I had when everybody else was blaming the pandemic on the reason why they couldn't be there at a certain time, where they couldn't get the materials there, where it was going to take months and months and months to get anything done. These guys were like Johnny on the spot. They got the job done, and they walked me through the whole process. Communication level was super high, and I think that's really important when dealing, especially with consumers. So I really like what you were saying. I really totally agree. But the other thing I wanted to kind of point out about that is that, you know, you talked about the local guy with the piece of paper, and I'm thinking to myself, well, thank God it wasn't a napkin that had been used, right? But anyway, that could be a different story. But the people you're dealing with, the franchisees, they're local as well. It's not like they're like, you know, sitting on some ivory tower somewhere far, far away. They are actually part of the community in most cases. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I was gonna say that being a franchise owner in general, you know, it involves some sort of community involvement, right? So, And the best franchisees are the ones that are not afraid to knock on that door and have that conversation with somebody. Now, there are some prospects, they don't feel comfortable doing that. They don't feel like they want to go to networking events or out into the community and hobnob, rub elbows with people that might be able to not only use your service, but maybe refer you to somebody that wants to use your service. And if you're not comfortable doing those activities, maybe franchising isn't right for you. And I'll call it out when I have to. Look, it's you're not cold calling people. You don't get a list of phone numbers to start, you know, dialing for dollars. It's not that, but you still have to have the ability and the wherewithal to go out into your community and pound the pavement and build those relationships, right? So there is a section of that a section of the assessment that spells out that psychography, right? That ability to sales and channel planning piece of the pie, right? You've got to be able to do that, or otherwise, you know, maybe you should stick in your corporate job and
well, there you go.
Push papers and crunch numbers or what have you, or get into an investor model where you don't need to be hands on at necessarily at all.
Right. Right. That's interesting. Now, we're running out of time here, but I definitely wanted to touch base on another sector that you told me before we started the podcast that's really hot right now, and that's the senior care sector. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So senior care, and I think most people probably know by now that 11,000 people are turning 65 every day. And to put that into perspective, while we've been on this call, there have been every 8 seconds of this call, somebody has turned 65. So what does that mean over the next 10 years? There's going to be a lot of old people in the United States, and they need help, right? And so when you talk about the kind of help that these franchises are providing, you're talking about in-home care services, both medical and non-medical, to help those that wish to age in place. There are services out there, franchises out there that help in other capacities with people that want to age in place. Maybe they need a ramp put into their home. Maybe they need to have some grab bars installed in the home. Maybe they need to have some cabinets lowered for people that can't reach or get out of a chair, wheelchair, et cetera. These are all big businesses and growing by leaps and bounds as we speak. And so the other sector within the senior care is our services that provide families help finding long-term care solutions, right? So that's the other one, right? Not everybody is going to have the ability to age in their home. They're going to need to find a long-term care facility. So there are franchises that can assist in finding the right long-term care solution. And the right solution isn't necessarily the one that's closest to where they live, but the right one might offer services that they need. Maybe they need long-term cognitive care. Maybe they need long-term physical care, physical therapy, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Just because there's one, you know, right down the block doesn't mean it's the right fit. So these franchisees are all, the commonality that most senior care franchisees have is that they all really want to help, that they really care. They take a very caring approach to helping elderly and helping families. So nurses are typically good people to tap into for this type of service. In fact, we're running an ad now for one of these care services, and most of the inquiries that we're getting, most of the candidates that we're getting in right now are nurses, physician assistants, people that are in the industry and are looking to kind of have their own business, right?
I love it. That's fantastic. Well, listen, again, we're pretty close to the end here. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I kind of brought it up a little while ago, you know, everybody kind of has their notion or idea of what franchising is and what it can do for them, right? And so I try to talk people into keeping their mindset open. There are good franchises out there, franchises that can help people achieve their long-term goals and success, whether it's a side hustle or they want to unboss themselves. It's not a one size fits all, right? It's get out of that McDonald's mindset and truly dive into what is out there. It's amazing the kind of conversations that you get into over the course of a few weeks when you get to know people and understanding that the knowledge isn't necessarily there. So I appreciate being on this podcast with you today, Neil, because it gives me a platform. I'm just one little consultant, right? But it gives me the platform to spread the word that there are good franchises out there and it's not just McDonald's.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, that was great information. Really appreciate that. Hey, Robert, if our audience would like to get in contact with you, find out a little bit more about you and your services, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah. So bestfranchiseoptions.com is our website. And quite frankly, I was amazed that it was available when we secured it. So bestfranchiseoptions.com, all the information is in there, including schedule a call with me. I'm happy to jump in.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate you being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation, Neil.
Absolutely. Hey, that's our show for today. So thrilled you could be with us. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Brand Mavericks is sponsored by Titan Media Works, providing podcast service and guest booking services for those who want to be in the podcasting space. Check us out at titanmediaworks.com. And also check out all of our other great hosts at the Small Business Delivered Network at smallbusinessdelivered.com. Hey, be sure to stay tuned for more Brand Mavericks coming soon. Until next time, keep on building your empire. Thanks a lot and have a great day.